Most of us like a good scare, unless it involves being mugged, getting pulled over at night on a lonely, deserted highway, or facing an IRS tax audit. But safely ensconced in a movie theater recliner? Bring it on. Hi, I'm Dan Webster, host of Movies 101. And on this week's show, Mary Pat Truthart, Nathan Weinbinder, and I will discuss three movies, one of which is by the new Dean of Contemporary Horror, Jordan Peele. We'll look at Peele's new movie, Us, along with the films Gloria Bell and To Dust. So don't touch that dial, because another edition of Movies 101 is coming up next, right here on Spokane Public Radio.
When the news is good, it's good to hear. When the news is bad, it's essential to hear. You can depend on Spokane Public Radio to tell you what's going on, why it's happening, and to try to make sense of what it all means. People who are members of Spokane Public Radio, just like you, make this service possible. Thank you for doing your part.
Hi, I'm Dan Webster, film critic for Spokane Public Radio and blogger for Spokane7.com.
And I'm Mary Pat Truthart, part-time film critic, full-time law professor at Gonzaga Law School.
And I'm Nathan Weinbinder, also a film critic for Spokane Public Radio and film and music editor for The Inlander.
And welcome to Movies 101, that show that hasn't ventured out onto any lonely, deserted highways since Nathan was in middle school, which, come to think of it, wasn't all that long ago. But going to the movies, well, that's pretty much what we do. And last week we saw three movies, one of which is Jordan Peele's follow-up to his award-winning 2017 film Get Out. The other two were Chilean filmmaker Sebastian Lelio's English-language remake of his 2013 film Gloria, retitled Gloria Bell, and the dark Hasidic buddy comedy To Dust. Let's begin with a bit of horror. If you haven't yet checked out the sketch comedy series Key and Peele, which ran from 2012 to 2015 on Comedy Central, you should. Made by the team of Jordan Peele and Keegan-Michael Key, it is both hilarious and satiric. Peele, of course, has gone on to make movies. His Get Out, a study in contemporary horror that also boasts a bit of social commentary, won him a 2018 Best Original Screenplay Oscar. And now we have Us, which is a bit more ambitious, at least in theme. Why don't you tell us about it, Nathan?
Sure, although I'm going to try and tiptoe around some of the bigger plot points in Us, because I think the less you know about it going in, the more effective it's going to be. But of course, this is Peele's follow-up to his directorial debut, Get Out, which was universally beloved when it came out, nominated for Best Picture, and as you said, won him an Oscar. And he almost did himself a disservice by coming right out of the gate with a film like Get Out, which was so confident in what it was trying to do, what it was trying to say, what it was trying to be. It walked this tightrope between dark social commentary comedy and straight up Ira Levin style horror with a little bit of supernatural stuff going on in there. And it was such a confident debut. But I actually did not think that Us was a letdown. I liked this movie a lot. It might not be Get Out, but very few horror films are Get Out. And I thought this one was a lot of fun. So like the previous film, Us opens with a descent into the woods. We see this family led by Lupita Nyong'o and Winston Duke. They're the parents. The kids are played by Shahadi Wright Joseph and Evan Alex, as they're going on a summer vacation to their beach house. And they spend a lot of their time on the beachfront boardwalk, where the mother, the Lupita Nyong'o character, suffered some kind of trauma that we see in flashback that opens the film that's set in 1986. And so she's returning to this place with her family. We get the sense that they've been here many times before. They meet up with a couple that's played by Elizabeth Moss and Tim Heidecker, who are the dopey white people of the film. They feel like Key and Peele characters almost. And everything seems to be going okay until one night, a family that looks an awful lot like our main characters show up and just stand at the end of the driveway of the beach house. And it reminded me a lot of that movie, The Strangers. Do you remember that film?
Yes.
With Liv Tyler and Scott Speedman, where these people were just being harassed by these masked strangers for no apparent reason. And they worm their way into the house And that's about all I want to say, except that they're essentially the bizarro world versions of our main characters. They're dressed in these red jumpsuits, which you've probably seen in the posters and the promotional materials. They've got these gold shears that they carry around. They all have scissors.
No, they're brandishing them.
That go snicker snack all over the place. And they don't speak except for the dark world version of Lupita Nyong'o has this kind of rasp where she's talking to them. And it almost sounds like something's wrong with her throat or her tongue. That's the basic setup for us. I don't want to go any further than that because this movie, I think it's fitting, it opens at a carnival because you could either liken this to a carnival ride or you could liken it to a funhouse because this movie kind of takes you down the garden path and you just have to go with it. And I kind of had a blast with this movie because it keeps shifting. You think it's going to be one thing, it becomes something else, and then it becomes another thing entirely, and then it blends them all together. I think Us is one of the first, I don't know if I want to say great, because I don't want to throw around that word lightly, but it's certainly the best mainstream film that we've gotten in 2019 so far. And again, Jordan Peele just has a way with his camera, has a way with his actors, has a way of blending tones and styles that you don't think are going to go well together and making them work somehow, because this is a straight-up horror film, but it's it's disarmingly comic at times, too.
Let's talk about that for a little while.
Sure.
So I'm still struggling a bit with Us because I couldn't quite figure out, was it a horror film? Was it social commentary? Was it a comedy?
Yes.
Was it? And I think you're right. Yeah. Maybe that's part of my struggle. But I have to say, I found it more creepy than actually fitting into the horror genre. Because honestly, I think I was scared once in this movie. And that was a little disappointing for me because I wanted to be more pulled off center or whatever. That's one thing. So I don't think it is a horror film. I mean, the larger concept in Us is a thing of horror, but the film itself I didn't really find to be very scary.
Well, I mean, it's not. Horror movies do a lot more than just scare you. I mean, horror movies are social commentary. Horror movies can be comedy.
That's true.
Horror movies can just be, I just want to give you this kind of skin crawly feeling.
I think I wanted to just put it out there so that people realized what the genre was. The other thing I want to say is
it's definitely among the horror genre.
Yeah, I think so.
Right. But I want them to understand what they're getting into. Also, it's very, very gory and almost in a comedic way, almost in this over-the-top way. But some people are put off by that, so they should know that. I really loved the performances, and I liked the doppelganger performances of these leading actresses, Elizabeth Moss and Lupita Nyong'o in particular, because they were just spot on. I think the movie in about the last quarter starts to lose its focus. It's almost as though it's Us is the classic sophomore movie effort. Gee, I have all these great ideas.
Yeah.
Why don't I put them all in this movie at one time?
And
it's like, whoa.
And that is exactly the problem that I have with Us is I really liked Get Out. And I really think that Jordan Peele is a talented guy. But I'm just a little taken aback by the absolute love that is being thrown at this guy by virtually every critic in the United States and all over the world, probably, but certainly in the United States. For a while, it was 99% approval rating on Rotten Tomatoes. The last I looked, it was 94%. You know, I can't help but think of the initial reaction to M. Night Shyamalan and how, oh my God, this guy's the greatest thing in slate. I want to see the third film, and I predict that when it comes the time for Jordan Peele to do a third film, people are going to go, oh, yeah, he wasn't all that great, blah, blah, blah. Anymore, I don't want to pay attention to what the overall critical voice is because halfway through the film, I began thinking, why can a film be so outrageous and yet so boring at the same time? It was boring to me because I thought it was unfocused. There were too many plot points. It was going in too many directions. You had the doppelgangers, you have the tunnels, you have this allusion to Hands Across America. And I was having trouble, what does this all have to do with anything? I mean, to me, a good horror flick, even one that has social commentary in it, has one or two really good ideas that you explore fully rather than throwing a lot of other stuff at it. And then I want to echo what Mary Pat said and what you've said also, Nathan. Lupita Nyong'o is a terrific actress. I was mesmerized by her all the way through. And the first 13 minutes of the film, it scared me. I've been to Santa Cruz, and I've been to that that ridiculous amusement park, and it's a scary place. It's also the place where Lost Boys was made in the mid-'80s.
They reference it in the opening of the film, too.
And they reference a lot of things.
I mean,
they reference a little bit of Kubrick in The Shining because of the twin girls. You know, I mean,
he even references the 80s monster movie Chud, which I don't know if you know, this is an acronym for Cannibalistic Humanoid Underground Dweller, and that comes into play at some point in the movie.
Yeah.
That was in between, let me see, Jeremiah 11:11, which is another Apathy takes us down. I just thought whatever social commentary there was in the film.
You were a little disappointed by us.
I was very disappointed in us.
I summed it up.
That doesn't mean that I didn't enjoy watching
this movie. This movie has way too much style and poise and humor in it to be written off as a disappointment.
I mean,
it's, again, like I said, it's no Get Out, but that movie was so good that it's almost unfair to compare the two, even though I think that's what we're doing. I think that at the end of the film, and again, I'm not going to spoil anything, there is a scene in which we get a lot of explanation, where a character essentially sits us down and tells us what's going on. And it's both too much and not enough at the same time.
Yeah,
I agree. It's kind of like this uncomfortable middle where he either needed to tell me a lot more to tie up all these strange allusions that he dropped earlier, or he needed to give us nothing at all so that we walked out of the theater going, okay, what do you think was happening with all of that? Because I had way more questions. And again, I know this movie exists more on an allegorical level than it does a logical narrative level, because it is something of a fever dream nightmare kind of scenario. But I had more questions about the logistics of the premise than I would have had he not explained anything.
I agree totally. And maybe that's why I'm sort of in the middle between the two of you about this particular film. And I do have to say that there's a plot point that will not be revealed that I caught on to like probably in the first 10 minutes.
I think I know what you're talking
about.
It crossed my mind because this does feel like a Twilight Zone kind of scenario.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Peele is redoing the Twilight Zone right now. But I think the first hour and change of Us is thrilling to watch because it's exciting, it's creepy, it's funny, sometimes all at the same time, and I don't know how he does it.
And again, I think he is a major talent.
I think so too. And Lupita Nyong'o is asked to do a lot in this movie, and she nails it.
Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
We Daniel Kaluuya got an Oscar nomination for Get Out. I think she could get an Oscar nomination for this.
And
I want to see Winston Duke in more stuff.
Early in
also.
The year, but
Get Out came in February, so.
Yeah.
It could happen.
And that was Us. This is Movies 101, and it's time to take a short break. Before we go, remember that you can access podcasts of Movies 101 by going online at SpokanePublicRadio.org. While there, check out the individual reviews that Nathan and I write. Don't do it now, though, because we'll be right back to look at Gloria Bell and To Dust. You're listening to Movies 101 on Spokane Public Radio. And we're back. This is Movies 101, and I'm your host, Dan Webster. During the first half of the show, Mary Pat Truthart, Nathan Weinbinder, and I discussed Jordan Peele's new film, Us. Let's now move to a couple of other topical films, Gloria Bell and To Dust. Let's begin with something that usually falls in the category of problematic, a foreign director's English language remake of his original project. Let's just say, though, that Gloria Bell, Chilean filmmaker Sebastian Lelio's remake of his 2013 film Gloria, is far better than most such remakes, which shouldn't surprise anyone since Lelio also directed the 2018 best foreign language film, A Fantastic Woman. His Gloria remake transfers the story from Santiago, Chile to Los Angeles, with a few scenes shot in Las Vegas, and it includes an attendant language change from Spanish to English. Julianne Moore stars as the title character. A middle-aged divorcee living and working and doing a lot of dancing, basically just trying to get the most out of her life. But things are never quite that easy, are they, Mary Pat?
They are certainly not. And I think I might be in the minority with respect to certain aspects of Gloria Bell. First of all, let me say, I thought Julianne Moore's performance was pretty amazing. Julianne Moore's appearance, on the other hand, I mean, she is this luminous A-list actress. And so I've struggled a little bit with that. And maybe it's because I had the Gloria from the original Chilean version of the movie in my head, who looked more like Tootsie than she did like Julianne Moore.
It was those big glasses, honestly.
Yeah, but I think that is one of the strengths of this film and one of its weaknesses. How closely do you follow a pre-existing film? And we've had this discussion before. And so in many respects, as Dan pointed out, this is a worthwhile remake, and it's by the same director. We've seen that premise fail before, most notably when we were talking about Us in the first half of the movie, Michael Haneke's Funny Games, which was one of the most terrifying films of all time. But then when it was remade into an English language version, it was horrible, changed from its original Austrian version. The problem that I struggled with in Gloria Bell was I didn't really get a good handle on why this was transported to L.A. For the first part of the movie, I thought we were in the 80s. I thought that's what was going on. But we find out, no, it's really modern times. But there are all these 80s references and throwbacks, including our protagonist's appearance. And I needed a little bit more to explain to me why that was going on, why she was an 80s music aficionado, why she was wearing these Gloria Vanderbilt dresses from the 80s with the glasses and so forth and so on. Or was the commentary supposed to say, hey, things that were old are now new again, because that's at least part of what was going on. I thought John Turturro's performance was really challenging because he has to make us like him, and then we don't like him. I mean, his character is so off-putting, it's problematic. The other thing I would say is Gloria Bell is supposed to be sort of a slow character study about a woman's coming of age and having this midlife crisis and what does that look like. But there are all these additional plot things thrown in, like the daughter and her boyfriend. And so, and I thought that was honestly a little distracting.
I think I liked this movie a lot more than you did. And I liked the original Gloria, which starred Paulina Garcia in the title role. I don't remember the specifics enough to know how closely this follows it, but my kind of fuzzy memory makes me feel like this is a pretty faithful
remake of it.
And again, I like that movie. This is a showcase for its central performance. And I think Julianne Moore is just absolutely wonderful in this movie. And she really gets us into the head of this character, who I think could be a lot of things. You know, she could be annoying, she could be pathetic, she could be just kind of a sad sack. And yet she's struggling with all of these things, and there's still a spark of life in her. Even though life keeps pushing her back down again and dealing her a bad hand, she's trying her best to basically look on the bright side of things. And I thought that that came through without being cloying or preachy or greeting card-esque. I really liked that performance. And I also agree with you, Mary Pat, about John Turturro, who plays her on-and-off boyfriend in this movie, because you do have a love-hate relationship with him. You understand why he's reticent to get into a relationship. And at the same time, you just think, what a scumbag, because he's leading this woman on. He's telling her he loves her. He's whisking her away to Vegas. And then he's vanishing.
Yeah.
And then calling her for days at a time, saying, I'm so sorry, come back to me. And you think, well, this is a cycle of destruction.
Yeah.
So I think as a character study, I really liked this. It's much funnier than I thought it was going to be. And I was completely involved in this character from beginning to end. So I liked it a lot.
I'm closer to Mary Pat. In fact, maybe even going a little bit farther. But let's just say we're on the record right here. I thought Julianne Moore was terrific. And you know, over the years, I've shown some disdain for her.
Inexplicably
so. I think she's a talented actress. I just don't particularly like what she brings to the screen. But she was really good here. My problem is, as Mary Pat talks about, the switching of the setting. As I recall, her listening to the radio in Chile, in Santiago, she was listening to the news. She was listening to politics. And instead, here, she's listening. All she's doing is singing empty 80s songs.
So what?
That's what I'm saying. So what we knew, we have a woman living in the era of Trump. All right, we're going to take all politics. We're going to take everything out of it. And you talk about her dealing a bad hand. What bad hand does this woman do? She lives a really nice life, a life in which She has absolutely no economic problem. She got two kids who love her. I mean, there's all
you
little,
can be successfully. You can be successful
problems.
Economically and still have emotional problems. Come on,
she doesn't
well,
have
she
any
had
emotional
that,
problems.
She had that hairless cat. What
they're
problems
all,
could
that's,
anyone
that's
have?
The
she's
biggest
a terrible
problem.
Upstairs neighbor.
Yes, she does. Yeah. She does.
And a yeah, fraught
so
relationship
what, who
with her ex-husband.
Lived through that, it's
why
just
are you
this
bringing?
Movie,
why are you bringing politics into this movie? It has nothing to do with the movie.
That's because politics was taken out of the original movie.
That's okay. It's
no,
a different
it isn't.
Movie.
No, it
it's
isn't
a different
okay.
movie.
No, it isn't okay. It's a,
okay,
it's a,
I might have to intervene.
No, no, no. Well, it's a study of
be the,
America.
Be the sweet
it's
in
a
here,
study
will
of America today and how people who are rich people don't want to deal with the politics. So that just it just absolutely let's just stop right
it's
here.
A good movie,
you
and that's
it.
Not what the movie's
you
about.
It. Well, of course it's not what it's about, because then it would have been a
well,
real
then
movie.
Well, you're criticizing it for something it's not about.
And no, I'm criticizing it for not being about what it should be about.
Whatever.
And that was Glory Bell. Let's close with To Dust. To Dust is a film I would have expected to play at the annual Spokane Jewish Film Festival. It involves a man named Shmuel, a Hasidic cantor living in upstate New York, who is grieving the recent death of his wife. Wherever he turns, whether to family, friends, or even to his rabbi, he can't find the consolation he craves. So he becomes obsessed with the process of death itself, especially with what is happening to his wife's body as time passes. So he seeks out a community college biology professor, and together the two of them embark on a darkly comic, basically ridiculous, but at times touching, journey of research. The Hungarian actor Géza Rörig, who was so powerful in the 2015 Holocaust film Son of Saul, is pitch perfect as Shmuel, while Matthew Broderick seems as if he's auditioning for a Woody Allen film. To Dust is uneven and at times unsettling, but in the end, it does a decent job of capturing the desperate lengths to which someone, anyone, might go to assuage their grief.
I think that this film doesn't fit clearly into any particular genre, and again, that's potentially problematic, but at different points, I was won over by this film, mainly because of the performance of the main character. Matthew Broderick wasn't really sure what he was trying to do. As a matter of fact, I think that it turns into a buddy film at one point, and I actually thought in some ways that piece of the film worked better. I think I might have been missing some of the references because it is focused on this Orthodox Jewish community, and in To Dust,
yeah,
who
among us knows what a dibbuk is?
And so I think,
I
okay,
oh,
well, good for
yeah.
you. Okay. So I think that I might have missed out on some of the references and so forth, but I think I might have ended up liking this film better than you did, Dan.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen several movies set in this kind of milieu recently. I mean, Menasha, Disobedience, which Sebastian Lelio directed, and I think To Dust is the least of them, mainly just because I think you're right. I don't know if it ever really comes to understand what it's doing. I also had weird feelings about the fact that the wife in this film, we never see her face. We don't really know much about her. She's essentially a prop or a symbol for his
grief. Weekend at Bernie's.
Yeah. And honestly, I mean, all of the women in this movie are on the sidelines. And of course, that has to do with his own orthodoxy. But there were some kind of weird gender politic things going on in here that I don't think the movie quite reconciles. I actually like Matthew Broderick in this. And I thought that Géza Rörig was, I mean, I couldn't take my eyes off of him.
Yeah.
And here are three movies that we've had that have been built around really terrific performances, and this is another one. I'd like to see him in more movies.
I agree totally. And I also liked his sons. I thought that they seemed really typical kids, mm-hmm. despite the milieu in which they find themselves.
Yeah. And that was To Dust. This is Movies 101. I'm Dan Webster. And earlier in the show, Nathan Weinbinder and Mary Pat Truthart and I discussed Us and Gloria Bell. Let's take this moment to thank Jim Tevenin for both producing and engineering the show, and we thank you, too, our loyal listeners. And we invite you back next week, same time, same spot on the radio dial, when we'll again try to seek out the best of contemporary film. Until then, remember these comforting words from the author J.K. Rowling. To the well-organized mind, death is but the next great adventure. You're listening to Movies 101 on Spokane Public Radio.
The Movies 101 podcast is made possible by the members of Spokane Public Radio. Become a member at SpokanePublicRadio.org. Thanks for listening to Movies 101.